Hello there.
Hello there.
And welcome to What If Qui-Gon Didn't Die?
Your name's Jamie.
My name's Jamie. Your name?
Is Sean.
Is Sean. Who'd have thunk it?
I thought I was going to lose you for a bit there.
I'm always on the brink of being lost. We are 30-odd episodes in.
We are. Big milestone.
Yeah, and we still haven't got any better.
Still haven't got the old script nailed down for the intro.
I mean, it sounds mostly like we're there, but yeah. You know, we wing it.
We're a bit all over the place, but I think it's got a little boyish charm to it.
I had a big plan for this week as well, and I just totally forgot until just now, but we're now... You know, we're half a minute in and it's too late.
I was going to have
a big, it's Friday, it's not Star Wars, it's Carillion Chinwag.
It's Friday now.
And here are your hosts. It's Jamie, it's Sean.
We just need to get a recording of JR. Oh my God! Look at this!
The EMTs are rushing to the scene.
DDT!
RKO!
Oh, weren't an RKO amazing though? It was basically just a body slam.
But it's so athletic.
It's just so like...
I think at the time, I never really used to like Randy Orton, but when he did his RKO, I was like, it's all
when
right.
When he got pumped and he was... And you could see he was pumped. That's when I liked it, because I was like, he could kill somebody.
But then we like watching the Haroon twins, don't
we? Yeah, we do. Yeah, I do like them.
They're really good. Anybody who hasn't seen the Haroon twins, we see them on Instagram. They're a couple of brothers. I don't know. Well, they must...
I think they are brothers.
Well, yeah, they're called brothers. And in fact, they're twins, aren't they?
Yeah.
And they look the same. So
Yes.
But they do all the wrestling... And they do all these wrestling moves on each other. They're always body slamming, RKOing.
DDTs, tombstones,
everything. But they do it in like soft play areas or in swimming pools. Or,
yeah, in the sea or something. Yeah.
Just where there's very little... Until they do Sweet Chin Music.
Yes.
And then you hear the sort of the, you know, the proper clap as they sort of
smash each other's
faces with the bottom of their shoes.
Yeah.
Really, really fun to watch.
Yeah.
And because they back it with...
They back it with the old
commentary.
Recordings and commentary from the shows, don't they?
Yeah.
So it's just they've picked scenes almost, and they've gone, right, we're going to do that scene today.
I don't know if they... I'd like to think that they'd be good as wrestlers, but I don't know if they're quite built like wrestlers.
Well, they wouldn't be called...
Well, they wouldn't be Macho Man.
No, they'd be like Rey Mysterio featherweight, lightweight, whatever it is.
Flyweight, P-weight.
P-weight, yeah. P-body weight. Yeah. Penfold way. Penfold? Yeah, but they are awesome. And I like them more because they use the like commentary in the soundtracks.
Yeah.
So when it's going on, you can hear the crowd and they time it so the claps and the slaps all hit at the same time. And even if like in the soft play, you've seen the one where the big sort of cotton wool buds go around in a circle.
Yeah.
But they fitted the commentary... to look like it's actually for that,
and
even though
so
they're not
good,
talking
it?
About
yeah.
it, but it's just the way it is.
Choreography on it is just amazing. It's on point.
Yeah. Really good watch and listen, guys, you know, for that, if you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
It's worth a smile on your face, that's for sure.
Oh, definitely. If you've got a couple of minutes, which I don't know if you're anything like me, but a couple of minutes, once you click on someone's profile and you start scrolling through their reels, that's it, it's an hour gone.
Yeah, or, you know, just a little toilet stop.
Yeah,
because that's normally me.
And if you can't feel your legs at the end, then you know you've done it right.
you've done a good little set of watching the old reels there. Yeah, I must admit, I do like that. Yeah, see, it's stuff like that which people love because it's just quick and sort of easy, and because the commentary is from when you were nippers, and you're sort of going, oh, I used to love that.
If you've got any history of wrestling, like watching it or anything, it transports you back, doesn't it?
Oh, and it's just like, I could just sit there and get hyped from it.
Oh,
you're like,
oh,
I'm just ready to go now, I'm pumped.
You know, it's been years since I've watched wrestling.
Me too.
And even now, I watch those clips and I'd still get excited about it.
It's
really good, but I probably wouldn't even bother watching it now. I think the hassle of trying to get somewhere to watch it.
Yeah.
just outweighs my desire to actually watch it. But I watch these clips and I'm like, that's amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially when you see like Stone Cold.
Yeah.
You see The Undertaker.
Yeah. You know, and The Rock, but with his old black hair and the sideburns.
Yeah,
back
yeah.
in the right old day. Yeah. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah, anything like that, it just transports
takes you back. Triple H, Shawn Michaels.
Yeah.
You know, Vince McMahon getting beaten up on stage. Yeah. And he was their boss. And he's just going, yeah, you can beat me around a little bit if you want.
Yeah, but he's also, and you can tell
by he's ripped.
The size of him. Yeah, yeah. He's not messing around. He is there because he is part of the sport.
Yeah.
He's not just a suit.
No, that's it. The suit is barely containing
yeah.
what's underneath there. Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes he wears some of those suits and they're practically splitting, aren't they, at the yeah. seams. Although there's something quite jarring about watching any wrestler when they've got a suit on, because some of them do turn up in suits. I remember like Triple H used to do it as well.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're so massive.
The suits just don't fit them, really.
No, but they try.
Yeah, yeah. And it just makes them look, if anything, more imposing, because it's just like, are you supposed to be wearing that?
You really need two sizes up from that.
Yeah.
You won't, because that doesn't show off your
muscles,
does it?
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Oh, God, yeah, it takes me back. Yeah, good, good. Speaking of Insta stuff, have you liked the dude who goes walkabout that I've been sending you this week?
Oh, who goes to like the boggy marshes
yeah,
and whatever.
Yeah.
What was it? Bog snorkeling.
I've been bog snorkeling today. Now, he's funny.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's because he's funny or he's eating something funny.
Is he the new Francois Bourgeois train spotter guy?
No. I honestly think he, you know, goes digging for mushrooms.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but
he's got his wellies on, so it's fine.
He's got his wellies on. Not today, because I've got my big old waders on. Oh. It's the one where he's drinking the water from the tree. I can't remember the name of him, people, but he's so funny to watch.
I can't think what he's called, but yeah.
It's something Schlag.
Oh,
or something
yeah,
like
it is.
That.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Jamie Schlag or something like that.
Yeah.
But, oh, God, yeah. And because my mate showed him to me last week. This is when I started sending him to you, because he showed me.
Mm.
And he obviously told me this story about, you know, the little bits of extra sweeties you have before dinner or whatever. And then he goes on walkabouts. That's why it's always like all of the Rings music behind his things. But I mean, like all of them, it's just like, I just can't help laughing or feeling good about myself. And it's like, I know obviously if a policeman asked him what he was doing,
he wasn't on the
spectrum. So it's not a disorder. It's a, I've inhaled this sort of thing. He would probably get slammed for it. But the innocence of them little things, aren't they just so cool? Mm. Like, wouldn't you love to just walk around and be like, a man just said hello to me, and it was imagine if everybody just said hello to each other in a nice manner more often. And you think, oh, mate, you're having such an ace time.
He's just loving life,
isn't
he?
He is, yeah. And then when the path's getting a bit too much, because a lot of things have happened on this path, I'm going to step off onto the grass. Ooh, and then he's
just off he goes.
And then the lesser of two evils, I think I'll get back on the path, everybody. And I'm just thinking, oh, God, I just love watching this guy.
People have go up him though, because he's supposed to stay on the path.
He's supposed, do not step on the grass.
Yeah, don't,
people. Yeah. It's like the wrestling thing as well. Do not try it at home.
No,
you know these twin blokes. These twin blokes know what they're doing. All right, just you told my kids to play wrestling. No, we didn't. But yeah, sorry. So we've gone on a right one there.
So
from your cool little intro idea,
which we'll have to try and implement maybe another time, maybe next week,
maybe
remember. Onwards. But what is Carillion Chinwag? Let's go back. Let's circle all the way back, because we're now 9-odd minutes in.
That's all right.
Which is fine, but here we go. Here's the intro. This is Carillion Chinwag. This is a little peek behind the curtain. This is us catching up on our weeks and just having a general chinwag and a bit of smack and cheese.
Smack and cheese down, baby!
Yeah, so we just talk about anything. It doesn't have to be Star Wars related. We just ramble.
Yeah, as you've seen in the last 9 minutes.
Yeah, we off we went. We went stomping through some marshes.
Went stomping through the bog with my wellies on.
with a snorkel, face the wrong way.
Yeah, I just inhaled that.
Yeah, not an ideal thing to do. So, Shawnee.
Hello.
Last time you put me on the spot, so straight back at you.
Straight back at me.
What have you been up to in this last week? Because it has actually been a straight week.
It's been a full week, hasn't it? All right then. So we've been having a look at the old YouTube and Instagram thing, haven't we?
Yes.
That will be being updated soon, people. I'm looking into how to make the information update things a bit more reachable for people with hashtags and tags and all that stuff. I'm not very technical, so trying to reach people who aren't direct friends with us or following our page.
Yeah.
You might listen to this, but not actually be able to find us on the old Insta or whatever, which is absolutely fine. But I'm going to try and make it so that we pop up a bit more so people can find us and have a good listen and stuff like that.
Yeah, and on that note, actually, it'd be really handy if people were to help. If you do follow us on Instagram or we've got a bit on Facebook as well.
Yeah.
If you're able to share it as a story every now and then, if something pops up or you liked an episode, just find it. We should have something somewhere. We've got a trailer as well. If you could help share that around, stick it in your stories, get people involved, it'd be really handy if we had
the more it's shared, the more people will be able to reach it, because it's quite difficult to, on a technical side of things, to get it out of who's following the page at the moment to other people, just because of the way like people's privacy settings work and stuff. When you see random stuff on your story, people's, or your real random like magnifying glass page, the search page, that stuff is all geared to you. But because we're sort of almost a private page,
we're so niche.
Yeah, it's not going to just filter into other people's stuff like that.
We really do need the support of
being
the listeners
and stuff,
the followers to help. Yeah, share us around a bit and see if we can get some more people involved.
Yeah, share the love a little bit. And you know, if I start making the new episodes into reels and not just stories, it might be a bit easier for you guys to share them and enjoy the little funny Kane Dingle, you know, 15 seconds I put up there with the Smooth Operator.
I've been singing Smooth Operator.
Yeah, so have I.
Constantly.
That was one of the best ones I did. And I think somebody, in relation to you, sent a little laughy face.
Oh, did they?
If you look in the requests, there's a little laughy face to that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. I like that. It says Barton anyway, so. I was just like, it must be a relation. I don't know.
Because I don't generally look in our Instagram page anymore.
Yeah.
Since I relinquished control, I allowed some of the control of the podcast out. So I haven't actually seen, but thank you to the mystery to the
mystery
commenter.
Man. Yeah, who gave us a little smiley face.
Was there a BMW badge in the picture? That's my dad.
Oh, was it? Oh, legend. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Pops.
Yeah, you like that one. Smooth Operator. So that's going on. I'm going to sort of have a look at the YouTube as well. Not that that gets as much traffic. I think it's a bit hard to have a podcast thing on YouTube.
Yeah,
maybe almost. I don't see a lot, but maybe I'm just going to sort of upload whatever goes on Insta. So if you're on YouTube and you see it and you think, I've seen this 5 times already, apologies.
But, yeah, the episodes, and I haven't looked for a while. I kind of just set it up and forgot about it.
They're uploading in good order.
Yeah.
The episodes, I've seen them up there. Yeah.
Are they all on there as
well? They're all up there. Up until last week, Monday, they were all sort of up there, and they're actually being uploaded at the same time.
Oh, okay.
So or if not, it's like the Tuesday after the Monday or something like that.
So if you're a YouTube premium type of person, you could, I suppose.
You could listen to our podcast
listen to it on the YouTube.
Because it won't take much of your mobile data either, because there's no video. It's just
it's a static picture.
It's a static picture, so it does reduce your sort of usage when it comes to using YouTube. But yeah, so I'll try and put a few more things on there, people. But this is the thing, YouTube for me, I find, I don't know if other people are the same, I'll go on YouTube more for, I don't know, like, funny things, yes, but more information.
Yeah, I'm always information.
You watch videos for info, and like the shorts I watch are either funnies from Game of Thrones like 10 years ago, or because for some reason it just keeps coming back, or like Warhammer vids or stuff like that. It's all information-y / hobby related stuff, or like Pokemon or whatever, or games that you watch, but never really, I don't really find the businessy, podcasty sort of things that you see on Instagram. So, you know, if you think different, maybe get in touch and tell me. See if, you know, if you've got any input into maybe branching out from just Instagram. Facebook, not so much for me, but if you really think it's a big thing, just let us know.
Yeah, yeah.
There might be a tech fad out there who knows how to just set it up nice and easy, and then I only have to click a button and people will see it.
That'd be ideal, wouldn't it?
That would be ideal if there was a tech genius out there somewhere. A communication droid, as it were, to talk to these moisture machines.
Yes, that's what we need.
That is what we need. All right, so rest of me week. Right, so the dog needs to go to the vets Thursday because she was limping again last week.
Oh, okay.
And I told you about the little lump on her left paw.
Yeah, yeah.
It's grown a centimetre. Now, the thing with Springer Spaniels, people, is they'll run to the heavens and back and not moan about it till later on. You know, if she's got that ball frenzy going, you wouldn't even know she had a sore leg. So I took her to the vets again, and then they go, oh, yeah, it'll be £1,000 because we have to sedate, then x-ray, and then take a biopsy. Just in case it's not bone, it might be something else in there. And I said, you know what, fine. Because if she keeps having a good spell and then being really sore and really, you know, upset and unhappy, then obviously we've got to sort that out. So I've had to sort my day off this week to take her for that. Hopefully she'll go in and get sedated.
So that's Thursday.
That's this Thursday, yeah. Mm. She gets a bit of separation anxiety. So, well, that's what they say dogs have, don't they? Well, they just love their owners, essentially.
Yeah.
So I've got to sort of gently ease her into this room and be like, I'll see you later on. Please don't hurt anybody because you don't like them.
They're professionals, I think.
Yeah, of course they are. Yeah, vets love it. And mostly all the vets, they'll go, oh, I've got a spaniel. And I go, oh, thank God for that.
Because
you know exactly what they're like then.
Yeah.
So that's that. What else have I done? I lost a Warhammer game over the weekend. That was lovely.
Just what you wanted.
Just what I wanted, yeah. haven't played an actual game in ages. And my good friend Alex White beat me with his Dark Angels. They're really nice, though.
Yeah.
Like, they are good. And they're how I think they should play as well. If there's any Warhammer guys out there, when I say they play how I think they should, you'll know what I mean.
That makes sense to someone.
He plays the Deathwing, and they are very, very good. No, not the Deathwing. Is it? What is it called? No, the Deathwing's that one. Oh, I think it's the Deathwing, because they use Deathwing Assault.
Thinking time
with Sean. Anyway, took the line, and it's the little innocent model about that big, but he was bananas good.
Yeah.
Because I've got these big knights to play at the moment. They're big walkers.
So for the listener, he's got little ones which are about 4 inches, and you've got some which are about a foot.
Not a foot. They're more like, what's that? Six inches tall.
I mean,
I don't know. What's that? I'm just varying here. How big am I?
I don't know what you tell your girlfriend.
Let's just say they're just over six. They're Chaos Knights people that I'm using at the moment. Yeah, and oh my God, yeah. It was nice to play, though. And the thing with Warhammer, I find, is that, yeah, people get salty. And I get quite salty because I lose a lot.
Mm.
And it's a lot of, oh my God, dice gods hate me? But actually, it's still really nice to play a game and roll dice with your friends, even though you do lose more often than not. Because you spend time sorting out the models, and if you build and paint them, and a lot of people might not paint them, you know. Some people just enjoy rolling dice, some people just like painting them. Sure, Robbie, you know, I like doing all of it. But actually, you know, seeing the one of them I've painted just one, and he's ready to roll. It's kind of, he's not finished, but he's on the way.
Yeah, yeah.
As a tester. And just seeing him on the board, yeah, he didn't last very long. Because he was targeted, you know, new painted model syndrome and all that. But when they're actually on the board and you're rolling your dice and you're going, oh, he's going to try and eat you here.
Yeah.
And then it's a nice little feeling when you're with your mate and you're rolling your dice and you're all having a bit of fun. Yeah, it's all very good. So I lost a Warhammer game. I won't want to talk about that again, so don't ask. What else happened? I think that's it, mate. Go on, tell me about yourself.
Okay. Spotlight has been turned.
Where are you Tuesday night at 9 p.m?
I don't want to say. reasonably quiet week. As I say, every single week, I've had a reasonably quiet week. I've not done very much.
Apart from doing some more guitar, sir.
I do some more guitar, but let's skip past that because otherwise we'll just talk about what guitar I'm doing every single week. And as much as I enjoy it, it's probably too nerdy for some people.
Oh, okay.
So I've got some stuff that I've done.
Go on.
I watched a film. This is an old film. Sherry says to me, "Should we watch a film tonight?" And I went, "Yes." She said, "Where do you keep your films?" And I said, "They're upstairs. Go and have a look." I was busy. I think I was making dinner or whatever.
Yeah.
So she went upstairs and she came back and said, "Nah, nothing there I want to watch." I went, "Oh, okay."
Great, great selection I have, but don't worry.
I said, "I know what film we're going to watch. I'm going to go and get it."
Yeah.
So I went back upstairs and I picked out True Romance. Have you seen True Romance?
No, but I think we've sort of spoken about it.
I'm pretty sure we have briefly spoken about it. So it's Christian Slater.
Yes.
And Patricia Arquette.
Yeah.
And it's, I suppose it's a, it's not a rom-com and it's not a traditional romance kind of film, despite the name. It was written by Quentin Tarantino, so that might give you a little hint as to how things play out.
Yeah.
It's a crime type film and it's really good, but it came out over 30 years ago.
Yeah, it's quite early for Quentin Tarantino, wasn't it?
Yeah. And he didn't direct it, he just wrote it.
Yeah.
It's great. But it's you've got Clarence and you've got Alabama.
Yeah.
So Clarence, he is obsessed with Elvis, kung fu movies and all this sort of stuff. And he's I'd like to say he's cool, but really he's cool like we're cool.
Yeah. Yeah. He's cool at home, but not outside.
Yeah. and Alabama is, I don't really know how to describe her. She is kind of kooky, kind of fun to be around, I suppose. A bit sort of, I don't know. Yeah, kooky, I think, is a good word. But they get on really well.
Good.
And it's just their little adventure when they happen upon a suitcase full of cocaine.
Oh, nice.
So the cast in this film, unbelievable cast, really, when you look back on it.
Mm.
So you've got Christian Slater, you've got Patricia Arquette, you've got Dennis Hopper.
Yep.
You've got Samuel L. Jackson's in there for about a minute.
Yeah.
But he's in there.
Yeah, of course.
And he's
he
as cool as always.
Yeah.
You've got Christopher Walken.
Nice.
He plays like mob boss type.
Yeah.
And he's really good.
Yeah.
But you've also got in there James Gandolfini.
Yeah.
You've got James Gandolfini in there. He plays obviously a mob guy. Brad Pitt's in there. And this is where we spoke about what we spoke about. So Brad Pitt is the stoner on the sofa.
Yeah.
He's in there. And who else was in there? There was one other person, I think. Yeah, Chris Penn's in there. He's really good. He plays one of the cops. It's just
mayhem.
Yeah, and it's just all these people, and they just all come together, and it's just, it's so much fun.
Yeah. Pure Tarantino-esque. Yeah,
and it's just. I think a lot of it, like Sherry sits there going, like, "What? Why? Why is he obsessed with Elvis? Why is Elvis there?
Yeah.
What's going on? What?
Yeah."
And I just really enjoy it. And I quite enjoy when she doesn't really understand why things happen. Or
yeah.
Sometimes you just got to just enjoy what it is, whatever it is, and just sort of go along with it and just sort of take it at face value and just go, yeah, it's just why not?
It's just a film, yeah.
Yeah, why not? It's fine.
This dude has already liked Elvis before you jumped into his little story here.
Yeah.
So, and this is the thing as well, you know, when people write films, they think people need to know why.
Mm.
You know, we spoke about this before, people like to know the whys.
Yeah.
But actually, with a Tarantino movie, he does that quite a lot, doesn't he? Where he makes a character, and what he's done is he's built a character 10 years ago, but you're jumping in now when these things already solidified.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's obsessed with Elvis. Because he's always been obsessed with Elvis.
Yeah.
But you wouldn't know that.
All you need to know is he really likes Elvis.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
So we watched that. Really enjoyed that. If you haven't seen True Romance, I would recommend it.
It's something I need to get on.
Yeah, it's It is a classic. I think it's probably underrated for what it is, but I really enjoyed it. And even going back to it, it's still really good. Yeah. Oh, and I forgot one important character. Gary Oldman's in there.
Is he?
Yep.
Oh, I love a bit of Gary Oldman.
Gary Oldman is amazing. And he looks so different in every single role he does.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big time he does.
And I'm not going to tell you who he is in True Romance.
You wait till I watch it.
Because when you sort of see him in that role, you go, but hang on, you've played like British spy.
Yeah, yeah. You've played American cop.
Yeah, you've played these very straight roles where you're sort of very serious, and now you're playing this character? Like, what's going on? It's just nuts.
I might have seen a clip of this character that you're on about.
You probably will have.
Because I'm sure I could, yeah, yeah.
But he's so good. He plays it so well. He's really, really good. So yeah, so True Romance, watch that. That was good. I've also watched a series as well over the week. So I watched a series called Poker Face.
Right.
Which has got Natasha Lyonne in it. And she is blessed, cursed, with this power that allows her to know if people are lying. She doesn't even need to know them. She just hears them, hears what they say, and just goes, bullshit.
Yeah. Oh, just okay. Yeah.
So she's really good at playing poker.
Yeah.
Because it's all about bluffing and lying and whatever. But she doesn't, it's not all restricted to a casino.
Yeah.
Which is where it starts. She actually ends up on the road, and she does all these various bits and pieces and encounters these various scenarios. And she's almost like a cop in a way, but she's not. She's a drifter.
She's just a. But
she can't help but stick her nose in and go, something's not right here.
Yeah.
She makes a friend. Something's not quite right. And then goes on from there. But it's an enjoyable series. Very easy to watch.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah, that's on Sky somewhere, I think. But can't tell you which channel. I don't know. Anyway, definitely worth a watch if you've got a little bit of time free. And one other thing I want to talk about.
Go on.
So, a picture appeared in the family WhatsApp group.
Okay.
Of my brother. And he's in a restaurant, and with his family in the restaurant, and they're cooking their own food. I'm not in the kitchen.
Oh, sat at the table, they're sat cooking. At the table,
cooking your own food. And what do you call it? Like teppanyaki, sort of. Normally, you'd sort of see like the Japanese sushi guy, or he's flipping the eggs and he's doing whatever he's cooking.
Oh,
the food
I see. Table. Like in front of them all when it's on the griddle pan. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Now get rid of that bloke. And now you've just got your food and you've got the hot plate to cook your own food.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I do not like this.
Oh, like, my first thing is you've paid money to cook your own dinner in
exactly.
a restaurant.
Exactly.
So not only have you wasted fuel to drive there, you've basically paid extra for food that you then have to prepare.
Why not just do it at home?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. This is what I think about Black Rock and stuff as well. Because you still pay the money for the steak.
Mm.
But when it comes out, you can cook it to how you want. But in every restaurant, they ask you how you want to eat it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just, I find it really frustrating. I think I'm just becoming a really old man.
Cynical old goat.
Yeah.
But this is the thing. Did they go there with the intention to cook, or was it one of those sort of meme scenarios where he's like, you can come and have a go if you want?
I think that's the whole point. I think that's why people go. And you just get like a plate full of meat and you just get to cook it how you want. But for the amount of money, surely you must be spending more money being there.
Yeah, because it's restaurant price.
Yeah.
Than just buying some steak and going home.
But
you can make a hot plate in your own kitchen, people.
They're not even doing half the work. They're just providing a setting.
Yeah, and making sure the hot plate don't kill them, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. A little raise of the eyebrows there, people. You might enjoy it, but I would not enjoy knowing that I've spent God knows how much on that.
And this happened to me years ago, unexpectedly. And I don't know if we've spoken about this or not. I went to a Hard Rock cafe.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to have the fajitas.
Right.
And it turns up. And it's basically build your own fajita.
Oh.
I don't want to build my own fajita. I want you to make it and just present it to me.
Yeah, because I'll eat it regardless.
Yeah. If I've got to waste 5-10 minutes putting these things together.
Yeah. Dirty in me hands.
I could have just eaten it in that time.
Yeah.
I'm there to eat. I'm not there to make.
Yeah.
If I wanted to make something, guess what? I'd go home.
Yeah. I would have brought the stuff on the way home. Yeah, exactly. Done it in the own kitchen.
Yeah. And you sit there and you pay somebody else for the pleasure of making your own dinner.
Yeah. Yeah.
That really wound me up that day. So.
Yeah, but I get where you're coming from, though, because I think that as well, because it's always that thing of, well, we could go, and it's like, I do like pizza, and I like going out for nice pizza, don't get me wrong, because you don't get the pizzas you get in some places at home.
No.
But special occasions, yeah, but normally it's like, oh, should we get a pizza? No, I'll buy a pizza, thank you, for less than, you know, a fiver, when that pizza's probably going to cost me 20 quid.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I've got a mate, granted, when we go around there and for up late painting, I will order pizza, but that's because he lives in a village in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
And so I'm a bit like that. I'm going to waste fuel to go and buy it anyway. And as soon as it's like nearly midnight, I'm going to order a pizza, okay?
Yeah. Yeah,
but
yeah.
On a normal day to day, yeah, I'm like that. Please. I'd. Come on now.
Yeah.
You know, and it's the Black Rock thing all over again. You've already driven to a pub or walked to a pub. You've paid over the odds for a pint because you're in the pub. And then they go, here, you could make your own dinner. All we've done is bring it out to you. But by the way, you still have to pay the same price as if I was going to cook it for you.
Yeah.
Because the chef still needs to get paid, even though he ain't done bugger all.
And yeah, don't forget to tip.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Also, did you want corn on the cob? Because that's £3 extra for one corn on the cob.
Yeah, it's just insane, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. So I agree with you here on so many levels, because we're both grumpy old men.
It's just, yeah, it's just old man gripe, isn't it?
It is, yeah. 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 You might as well go to the pub, people, and have a couple of pints, and then go home and just eat food that you've obviously been shopping for, because everyone goes shopping, don't they? Yeah, you must have a little plan in your head.
And The only excuse you'd ever have, I think, for that scenario is if your kitchen is out of action, your oven's broken, you've got no access to a hob or whatever, and then you think, do you know, I fancy that food.
Yeah.
It's not available at home. That's it. If it's not available at home, fine.
Yeah.
But lumps of meat, you can get them from anywhere.
Yeah. I did have a Black Rock, but we spoke about this because it was a family member's birthday.
Yeah.
So we had to go and have it. And I think, you know, I hadn't even sat down yet. And I said, oh, I love this, having to cook my own dinner. Do you know what I mean? Like, happy birthday, you know, Auntie Lolo. But yeah, really excited. Considering you could have just come round mine and I would have made you a steak.
Yeah.
Do you know what? I would have done it for you because it's your birthday.
It's just mind-blowing, isn't it? But people, it obviously works. People obviously like doing it because they wouldn't exist otherwise.
This is it, yeah. Yeah, so people, you know, they pay for their nice kitchens at home.
Mugs.
But they just, then they're like, should we go to somebody else's gaff and cook there?
Yeah.
You know, it might end up on Insta. So we'll be famous.
It must be 30-odd quid per person to not have to do the dishes.
Yeah.
That's it, isn't it?
Basically, yeah. Yeah.
So that's just a little rant I had for the week.
Mate, it's just fine. I like it when you have a bit of a rant.
We've all got to get it off our chest.
We've
at
all
some
got
point,
to get it off our chest. Because I had a few rants as well. This is what I remembered about. But they're a bit different kind of rants.
Mm.
So one of the rants is prescription services.
Okay.
I never understood how downhill it's gone now.
I mean, I'm not really au fait with the prescription services.
Well, back in the day, you would have gone in, because I don't have prescriptions all the time, people. You used to go in with your slip from the doctor, and they'd be like, all right, come back in 20 minutes, it'll all be here. We got the lot in store. You'd be like, oh, the magical cave of medicines. I could have gone to any named, you know, pharmacy or chemist and picked this up, and all they would have done is just stuck my name on the little bag and said, that's for him there. Now, you can't do that because they don't have everything you need. And even if you ring up ahead of time, and the doctor says you need to start taking these today, you have to wait 3 to 4 working days to get them. And then you think, oh, I'll do myself a little favour. This is not me, by the way. This is somebody else's little gripe, but it annoyed me enough. All right. So you can do the online, bring it to your door, sort of, you know, the postie will bring it, or the little dude will show up in his personalised little van. You order through them, which is all fine and dandy, but you can't change your address on it easy. So if you move house, your drugs are probably going to whoever the bloody hell lives there now.
Oh, okay.
Which is just mental bad. And then they don't even put it all in the box for when you need it. So you get a delivery, you'll either get three boxes of random sized Amazon sized boxes with mm-hmm. one pack of pills in it, which is just absolute waste. And you wonder why the Amazon's decreasing at the time rate it is. Like, honestly, you open these boxes and you go, there is nothing in it but air. Mm. So you don't get them all, or they don't all come when you need them anyway.
Yeah.
So what's going on, man? Well, why is it difficult to just get your pills on time? The doctor says you need them. Why isn't there just one place in any given town that goes, we have all them drugs. Come here, we'll give you a prescription in 20 minutes.
Yeah,
everything on your list.
What do they stock then if they don't have everything?
Well, they have a bit of this and a bit of that. And they're like, oh, we don't have that one. It's like, but why didn't you say that when I handed the prescription in? Why did you take it off me, go out the back, waste my time having a look to then go, oh, yeah, we've got these, which you can have, which you have to pay for, by the way, now, because obviously, you know, you pay for it all now you're over 16 or whatever, because we're old men. But you can't have these, so I don't know what you're going to do about that. And you go, all right, well, I go to a different pharmacy in town. So you're already not feeling very well.
Mm.
So you've got to trudge all back into town from Asda's or wherever you've been. And then they're like, oh, we don't have it either. Or we do have it, but we're the only one in town. We have to wait 3 days. Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Just thank you so you much. Just what I want to wear. Don't understand why people, but I know it's annoying. And there's not much we can do about it because, you know, it's a good service. So, because if we didn't have medicines, we'd all be buggered.
Yeah.
Essentially, I get that with human evolution and the way it is and that, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, it's just one of those things. And I was like, why is it so difficult? Why is it so difficult? And that leads me on to my other thing, jobs.
Oh, they took our jobs!
They took your jobs!
They took your jobs!
They took your jobs!
They took our jobs!
Why is it so hard for some people to get jobs? Like my girlfriend's trying to look for a job at the moment. And she's had interviews, don't get me wrong. She's constantly waiting for people to just dick her around when they say, we'll have a phone interview today at 10 o'clock, and they ring her at 2 and say, oh, sorry, we're not doing it anymore. And you're like that. I have sat here all for 4 hours waiting for you, knowing that you were just going to mess me around.
That's just rude.
And it is just rude. And I hope that she's emailed him back and said, that was just actually really rude of you.
Yeah,
and I hope that you fail in your applications or whatever. You know, I could send quite a strongly worded email when I'm asked to. But yeah, why is it so hard? You know, there's so many people with signs outside their workplaces, especially in the industrial estates. You know, saying we're looking for people. You know, different work patterns, blah blah blah, all of this, all of that. You look on Indeed, and there's like 30,000 pages. Do you know what? It's because it's all bull crap.
Yeah.
They're all fake jobs. They don't exist. And if they do exist, they're nothing like the advert says.
Oh, never.
So the money and where they're based, because obviously if you don't drive, you're looking for your hometown, aren't you?
Yeah.
Where you live. You go for your interview and they go, oh, yeah, thanks for the interview. By the way, it's a 2-hour driveway in our other office.
Yeah.
And you're sat there and you go, well, thanks for wasting my time because I asked you in the initial phone call stage, because you don't just go in for a job interview.
No.
You have to have a phone thing first, apparently. This is how long it's been since I've actually applied for a job, because I've been in my job for a good couple of years now.
Yeah.
So you have to have a phone interview first, and then if they like the sound of your voice, because they can't see you or, you know, they haven't looked at the bit of paper which says what qualifications you've got. They've only listened to the voice on the phone because they can't be asked to read your CV anymore. Then they decide if they want you to come in. Why is it so difficult now? You've got all these people, especially in Andover. Think about Andover. You've had all these houses built. Where are all these buggers working?
Yeah, they've got to be somewhere.
And if they're working outside of Andover, or they work like hours and hours away, you think of all the industrial units. People drive 2 hours from a Portsmouth or whatever to work in Andover.
It's nuts, isn't it?
Why?
Yeah.
Why is it so difficult for people to just get jobs in and around their hometown? And why is it so difficult as well to get a job where they're like, we know you haven't been to university to get this qualification we want, but I tell you what we'll do. We'll train you up and then we'll get you that qualification if you're willing to work here. If this isn't just a stopgap, we'll put you forward for it and we'll help you.
More jobs should encourage.
It should be like apprentice style, shouldn't it?
Exactly.
Why is it so hard for people? And, you know, because Katie's got qualifications. She's obviously got stuff. Because of the job she used to do, so she's really good at some things. But of course, when she goes for these interviews, like I say, these people haven't read her CV.
No.
So they're not asking her, oh, how comes you're really good with this computer system? One bloke asked her, he goes, so what's the biggest mistake of your life then? In a job interview.
What?
I know. And it just...
Like, biggest mistake was coming to this interview.
Yeah, basically. And I think that's kind of what she said. And then she sort of got up and left after just being like, I can't believe this. But that's not the only one interview she's had where they haven't got trained interviewed staff to do it. They're just Joe Bloggs. Joe Bloggs, who call themselves HR, but they're just mongrels who think they know what they're doing. But they're younger than her, younger than me and you, and they just look people up and down and go,
yeah.
Don't want them ruining my feng shui of my little office. and then literally, yeah. And then they just make the interview so bad. And then they go, oh, sorry, we're not really looking for somebody at the moment now. Which is just absolute, like...
There was something I saw some time ago. And it was a job application, but there's all these questions on there. And every response they gave was, it's on my CV. Or resume, whatever.
Yeah.
But look at my CV. Stop asking questions when all the information's on the CV that you all require.
Yeah. You need this to look me over.
Ask me questions that are not on the CV and I'll answer them, I'm sure. But if you are going to ask me basic questions, then why do I have to apply with the CV?
Yeah, I might as well just walk in off the street and you give me a questionnaire.
Yeah.
Instead of doing this whole rigmarole of sending my CV through email and then having a phone interview and then maybe being invited back for this to be told I've got to drive for 3 hours to go to the office that ain't the one you said I was going to be working in.
Yeah, I can imagine that's more
the world's annoying. The world's gone nuts.
Yeah.
In what, 7 years? Because I never heard of people having to have initial phone interviews first before going in.
I've been quite lucky. So I've had, since we stopped working together, I've now had two different jobs. And my interviews have gone really well. But I mean, I don't want to brag or anything, but I generally interview really well.
Yeah.
And I don't know why. I don't have an outstanding CV. I don't have qualifications to, you know, I'm not stupid. I know that much.
Yeah.
But I don't have... All my knowledge hasn't been approved by somebody else and written down on a piece of paper that I can prove it with.
Yeah.
So sometimes I think I'm going to be at a disadvantage. And I suppose in some ways, you know, I look at the jobs which I'm capable of applying for.
Yeah.
And they're not always great jobs. But I've always managed to get away with it, which sounds like a nice way of saying I've lucked into jobs. But... The first job I got, I think it was a phone interview, then there was a face-to-face interview. It was sort of that standard sort of procedure.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And obviously did all right on there. Somehow somebody listened to me on the phone with this voice and went, yeah, well, give him a chance.
Yeah.
Stop laughing, that's rude.
You have a lovely voice, sir. I don't know who would know you over your voice.
Shut up.
Come on now.
But the second job, my current job, they gave me a phone interview. There was no face-to-face interview.
Oh.
The phone interview was very short. And it was more like, do you know what we do?
Yeah.
Do you know what to expect from this job? And that was it. And I answered because I had half an idea.
Yeah.
Gave them a rough answer. And I went, yeah, all right, great. Well, we'll be in touch. And I had a job.
Yeah, there you go.
But my job, staff retention is shocking.
And that might be a leading cause of it, you know. But and in, if it's like the place where I'm at, they don't do face to face no more. It's just online.
Mm.
It's an online interview. Why? When you need people who can actually read and write English.
The problem with where you work is that the application process has always been so ridiculously lengthy.
Yeah.
That most people have given up and found something else.
Yeah.
Because you can get a job in a week if you want.
Yeah.
I got my current job and it must have only taken me like 10 days, 2 weeks maximum.
To be in the door.
Yeah, from applying to being, yeah, or at least having the offer to then to get in.
Yeah.
But your place, I think there was at one point, it was 2-3 months you'd wait between initial application and actually getting something back.
Oh, yeah, but that's the HR issue, because that's what I had.
Mm.
I had my interview, and then I was waiting and waiting.
Yeah.
And then I had to come in and see a manager, and he's like, yeah, you got it, like, 2 weeks ago. I've been waiting for you to come in. with your bits. And I was like, nobody's told me
yeah.
that I had it. Yeah, but that's a different issue to today's, you know, today's gripes about, you know, pharmacies and other stuff. Yeah, job interviews. Don't get me wrong. You know, I know people want the right staff for their place. But sometimes you just think, you're literally just judging it.
But they don't pay enough.
No.
The jobs we do don't pay enough anymore.
No.
Maybe in the past they used to pay relatively more.
In the past they used to be one of the most best paid jobs, didn't they, really?
Your job used to be able to support. One person doing your job could support an entire family.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. They weren't living a life of luxury, but they were all supported and fed and watered and whatever. But now, it's barely enough to support one person.
Yeah.
And that's the same across the board.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Jobs just don't pay enough.
No.
But then you expect high quality staff.
Yeah.
But you don't want to pay
for high quality staff.
And that's why you just that's why there's now just a high turnover, because why would you stick around anywhere?
Yeah.
Now if I don't like this job, there's another job I can get that's going to pay me the same.
Yeah.
There's plenty out there, you know. Yeah. I'm sure I can find something that I'll be able to do that might be just a little better. The wage is not going to change.
Mm.
So there's no real drama there. It's just now it's down to preference of job.
Yeah.
Whereas in the past, you pay somebody enough, they want to stick around.
Yeah.
And those days are gone.
And that's the thing. But as well, take my job for example. You saw how many bonuses and shares and dividends and that went out.
Mm.
And you think, but you said that we were losing money.
Yeah.
And there's obviously this is big politics talk for the dogs up top and stuff like that. Not the little ants at the bottom. But when you read stuff like that in the news, and you just think, just lying. And you've got all these people who are busting nuts for you every single day.
It's just all spin, isn't it? And it's always frustrated me. I find it really distrustful, and I don't trust any company that I work with.
No.
Because they haven't got your interest at all. No. They're just, all they care about is their bottom. It's not even their bottom line. It's their shareholders.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, these big companies, all they care about is, can we give enough money out? How are the dividends? That's all we care about. Are we making enough money for them?
Yeah.
Well, I don't care about them.
Mm.
If your business doesn't succeed or doesn't maintain itself, they get nothing. But they don't care, because they're going to bleed you for it. And once you've run out of money, time and options, they're going to walk away with all the money they've got and just move on to the next company.
Yeah.
Because they're all sharks, aren't they? They're just leeches.
Yeah. This is it, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. There we go.
Puts us under a rock, people.
So
we should rise up. No, don't rise up. Let's not go back to the 80s. Come on now. But yeah, it's very hard. And for some of you youngins out there who want to get into work, don't be disheartened to find the job you love.
Mm.
Like, trust us on that. But a couple of bits of advice from me. Only half the jobs that my mates went to needed uni.
Yeah.
So the blokes who went to uni and they're doing the jobs they needed to do through uni is still there. But everybody else I know who went to uni, don't use it.
No.
Now for the jobs they're in. Do you want to know why? Because them jobs don't exist. And if they do, they're so bloody underpaid. So think about that before you start planning your life.
Yeah. And if you're still young enough and you don't have financial burden, then get yourself an apprenticeship place, or
absolutely,
you know, just get yourself in something which it doesn't have to pay a lot. If you don't need that money,
and
don't be greedy about what you need to earn when you're younger.
Mm.
If you haven't got the burden of life on you yet, make the most of that time. I wish I had.
Yeah, I would have been in a different place now if I'd gone down that route.
I don't regret anything I've done in life, because you can't. You've got to keep moving forward.
Yeah.
But the closest thing I'd get to saying I regret a decision is not making the most of not needing money at the start of.
Yeah.
You know, when I was late teens, early 20s, I went into a dead end job, and that was a mistake. I should have been.
Should have pushed.
I should have been a tradie.
Yeah, yeah.
I love building stuff. I love making stuff. I love getting
your hands dirty.
I love getting my hands dirty.
Yeah, yeah.
And now it's a hobby.
Yeah.
Instead of something that I could actually be using
This is it. Yeah, yeah. This is it. This is it. Yeah, yeah. But then this is what we were on about a couple of episodes ago when I said, when you're in school, you weren't pushed to do things like that, were you? Because they were all about, obviously, well, our generation anyway, you know, maths, English. Make sure you get a C in your maths and English.
Well, all they seem to push in school, from my memory, is essentially a white-collar future.
Yeah.
But the world is not made up of white-collar.
No.
It needs to be blue-collar as well.
Yeah.
And the fact is that plenty of blue-collar jobs will pay more than those white-collar.
Yeah, absolutely.
You go to uni, you can spend, like you say, you can spend all the time you want at uni learning everything under the sun. But if you come out of there and your job for your specific degree doesn't exist, you'll just end up doing admin somewhere, or just you'll end up to middle management and you'll earn whatever.
Yeah.
But if you left school at 16 or 18 or whatever you have to be now, and you got into 18. A trade, you know, if you were a plumber...
Oh, you'd be set for life. You'd be set for life. That's what I should have done.
And I should have done the same.
Yeah.
But there you go.
That's it. Life stories.
Too late now. Financial burden is too heavy.
Yeah.
I can't afford to go.
Can't afford to go and do apprenticeship now.
Even though it would set me up in 10 years' time.
We could be like the Mario Bros. We could be the two plumbers.
Should we do some plumbing on the side?
Yeah, just grow a moustache each.
Side hustle plumbers.
Side hustle plumbers. That could be our little van tagline. We could do a night course. No, I'm joking. I don't have time for a night course. I don't even paint my own Warhammer at the moment. I've painted one model in about 3 months. And also time is precious. I've just said there about Warhammer. Don't spend all night working. No. You know, if you get paid till 3 o'clock, don't work past 3 o'clock. Don't take it home and go, I laid up in bed till 9 o'clock last night, because one of my mates does this. And granted, he is a teacher and I love him to bits. But he don't get paid to lay in bed at 10 o'clock doing what he does. And I'm like, put it down.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you got another nipper on the way and they don't want you up till 10 o'clock at night doing work.
Exactly.
Put it down. And, just... Come on, people.
Right. On that note.
Take a deep breath.
Now we've taken it to a deep and dark place. let's lift it up and say goodbye.
Life is good, everybody.
Yeah, life is what you make it.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
And we've made it to the end of another episode.
We have, and I hope you've enjoyed it. And it's not all doom and gloom. I know I have a bit of a rant now and then, but let's be fair. Yeah, I'm not ranting at you people. I'm just ranting at my life.
And rants are funny.
Rants are funny.
We always find it funny. And it's a good way to relieve that stress.
That's it. And I've had a lot of good comeback from the soapbox ranting episode. So if you want some more rantings that aren't, you know, government related or the UK in general related, please let me know. And I'm sure I can find something else, because next week I have got some other soapbox rantings to go on about. Right. I think it'll be a nice little feature, but I'm not going to save them for next week.
Lovely. Right. Well, it's been a pleasure, as always.
Bringing a downer on life.
So, Shawnee.
Jamie.
Look after yourself.
Be good.
And stay outside.
Boom.